fam, what's happening? Welcome back to another episode of YBO Podcast. I'm your host, Christina Royster. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening today, and you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. On today's episode, I'm talking all about what to watch while you still can, because there's a whole writer's strike going on. So we're going to talk about what's going on in the industry, like what's going to happen to my favorite shows. And we're also going to talk about the Emmy nominations, because we often see awards as, you know, validation for our favorite content creators, but some of our favorites were snubbed. So let's get into it. Before we dive into TV and film, I just want to put y'all on, because it's been a minute. And I'm putting y'all on this week to a fundraiser that I'm hosting this summer. I will be raising funds for backpacks and school supplies. I really had a desire this summer to give back, and I thought this would be perfect because, I don't know, I love back to school season. I used to love me some like new school supplies and everything. And I just see like my friends with kids and families with multiple kids struggling at this time. You know, I could barely make ends meet right now with this inflation and everything going on. So I could only imagine having multiple kids and having to do, I went to Walmart, y'all, and backpacks are $30. Like, was they always $30 or is that just inflation? Because I think that's ridiculous. And I saw a pack of pens for $5, and it's just not what it used to be. They don't do the 25-cent crayons no more. So I am trying to raise some funds. All you have to do is donate, and I will do the shopping. And let's give at least 50 backpacks, y'all. That's my goal. These are going to be going to students in Burlington County in New Jersey, where I live. So if you want to support the cause, if you want to support, I think this is YBO's first fundraiser. I've been doing this podcast for 5 years, but I do philanthropy outside of the podcast, but now I'm bringing it closer to home, and I definitely want to help out this year. So that's my put y'all on. Hopefully, I think the link will be live by the time this episode comes out, but if not, DM me and ask me for the link, because I will definitely be spreading the word. And like I said, you know, just gonna aim small, 50 students if we can, but I'm always excited to see what God can do. So if he wants us to bless more, then so be it. So if y'all want to support, that's how you can help us out this summer. And this is in collaboration with the WIC. So we're definitely trying to give back and do more of this. So I think I'll start with what I've been watching, and then we can talk about the strike a little bit, because what I've been watching is summer shows, and these shows are not going to be around in the fall, and I don't know what's going to be around in the fall. So let's start out with Run the World. If you're not familiar with this show, it's available on Stars. It's low-key like Harlem, and now that I think about it, I don't know which show came first. I think Run the World came first, actually, or they came out like right at the same time. But just another nice, you know, Insecure-esque show for Black women, you know, growing up in Harlem or living their lives in Harlem, I should say. They're not growing up, they're like in their 30s now. But even though they're in their 30s, they still got issues and they still got some growing up to do. And I noticed, this was the second season this year, I noticed that the dark-skinned girl was gone. I'm like, oh, so y'all just got all light skins up in this John? Turns out, my friend told me that she did not want to get vaccinated, so sis, it's 2023. You must have did something to film the first season, and now you don't want to do it for the second season. So she missed out, and the show went on, and they went from four girls to three girls, and they were just like, yeah, so-and-so's in Mexico for an extended period of time. And I was like, okay, guess we're gonna keep running with the show. So this show stars Bresha Webb, Amber Stevens West, and really just a lot of unfamiliar faces that are kind of new to me. They might not be new to acting, but they are new to me. So really the only two. Oh, and I forgot, what's the lady's name? Erica Alexander. Yeah, she's hilarious. She played Maxine on Living Single. She plays like their kind of older mentor-esque character. She's hilarious. But quick little eight episode season. And I really just, when I'm watching these shows, I just try to put myself in their shoes, and I can really relate to a lot of the characters. I have to say, what's her name? Whitney, that character, she really didn't learn her lesson from cheating on her fiance like a week before the wedding. And I just don't get how she was so like salty at the beginning of the season. Like, oh, I thought we were over this. Like, I love you. And he was like, nah. And it honestly made me think about how Women do be forgiving men more easily for cheating, I feel like. Her fiance was not having it. He was like, no, there's absolutely no chance of us getting back together. Actually, I haven't watched the finale yet, so I think that's still the case, though, by the finale. But we'll see. They did have a little spark, a little... Because you can't date somebody for 10 years and not, like, still love them, you know? Hopefully, if it was real love. But yeah, this show was really fun. There's, you know, there's always like that academic character who's like a TA at a professor or something. That's Megan Good's character at Harlem on the show Harlem. On this show, Run the World, that's Sandy. That's the character Sandy, played by Corbin Reed. So I kind of feel like I'm in between. I feel like I'm in between all these characters, honestly. The other character, she's like an advertising exec starting her own company. Her boyfriend's in the music industry, or husband rather. So yeah, I definitely see myself in these women, and that's what it's all about. Just like that representation. I just love seeing myself. I feel like other generations and other demographics, you know, they've had like Girls and they've had Sex in the City, and you know, those are great shows. I've never watched them actually, but they're critically acclaimed, and so now I just am glad to finally see myself, see what it's like to grow up as a 30-something-year-old Black woman in New York, you know. Even though I still don't know how they be affording all this, these lifestyles, these TV lifestyles, I wish I could just go to brunch every single day. It looks like they're at brunch every single day. Maybe it really like is like that in Harlem. I don't know. But that's one show I've been watching on Stars. And another plug for Stars is Power. I watched all of the Power universes, but the one that I never watched was Power Book 2, which I know everybody raves about. I finally just started that this summer, y'all. So I'm already on season 3 now. And now I see what the hype is about. Now I understand why y'all like this show. I gotta give it to Tariq. He really held it down. Sometimes I didn't know how. But I'm really here for Mary J. Blige. I love her character. I love Monet. I think that is... just such a badass boss lady character for Mary J. Blige to play. So now I really understand the hype, and I've been watching that too, but it's nothing new. You know, this show's been out for a little while. So I wanted to also talk about some reality TV, because I'm not really a reality TV girl. I've actually been more in my HGTV era recently. I never understood the hype with that either. Like, why do people love all these HGTV shows? But now I finally get it. And so, I've been watching more reality shows, though, and one of them is on Peacock, available on Peacock. I guess it originally is on Bravo. Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. Not to be confused with the OG Summer House. You know, that's fine. That's great. But this one I paid attention to because it was an all-Black cast, and I love to see young Black people at Martha's Vineyard. Like, they actually taught me some history with this show. I didn't realize that Martha's Vineyard, I always stayed away from it, honestly, because I thought it was racist. Like, up in Massachusetts? Vacation in Massachusetts? I don't think so. But on Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, they really go into the Black history of it all and how it was a quiet place for Black folks to escape should they be, you know, well off and have enough money to go there. But I guess it wasn't all quiet because they were still racist back then, you know. They had a beach called Inkwell Beach, and they called it that because they said Black people were as dark as ink. So learned a lot on that show, but I was here for the drama. Again, these are real life, you know, Black people in their 30s. The one girl, I gotta say, the worst part was honestly just Jasmine and Silas. I cannot stand a couple that clearly has no business being married, and then you're like pushing that on other people. Between Jasmine trying to hook up all her friends in the house when they didn't want to be, I hate when people be pushing that, like, why don't you get a boyfriend? Why don't you get a boyfriend? Why don't you talk to this guy? Why don't you have sex with this guy? Because I don't want to, because I'm happy by myself. Jordan said that, and she wasn't listening. So yeah, Jasmine was getting on my nerves, you know. And I could definitely see a little bit of myself in her at times, like when she was at the table, like, so let's go around the table and say what everybody's up to. And her friend was like, I'd rather have dinner without a prompt. So yeah, Jasmine was getting on my nerves. And her husband, Silas, if you want to see a toxic male image, go on ahead and watch this show, because he was so controlling. This man got mad at his wife. Mind you, his wife of what, 6 months? Got mad at her for burning his toast. Got mad at her for not ironing his clothes. You're not about to embarrass me in front of all my friends at the summer house talking about I didn't iron your clothes and you're on vacation mode. The fuck I am on vacation mode. What do you think this was? We're in Martha's Vineyard. And Bravo's paying for all this shit. Well, I don't know if Bravo paid for it, because the way they was fighting to keep Simon out the house, that seemed like, nah, we all put money in on this Airbnb and you didn't, so you can't stay a week. But I don't know. But long story short, if you just want a good laugh, if you just want to see a little drama between some, I was going to say some affluent black folks, but honestly, I don't know if they're all affluent. Going back to the girl Jasmine, it's very clear to me that she was literally homeless, living out of her car before the show. And she was scooped up by her army husband, who's the breadwinner. And so that's why she'd be cooking and cleaning and ironing his clothes. No, ma'am. I mean, I definitely, you know, want to do that for my future spouse, but I'm not going to be bossed around, especially in front of my friends. So that was very cringy to watch. And I hope she gets out of that relationship. But according to her Instagram, they just celebrated a year. So guess she just sucked it up. But for all that to play out on TV, I was just like, why don't they just film me and my friends on a 2-week Airbnb vacation? Like, we could really do this up. Because the other thing was, I was looking at Reddit and people were like, did this happen off season? Because all the clubs they go to look empty. That John did look empty as hell. That John had like older white people at the Martha's Vineyard bar. Like, they were trying to make it look lit, but all they did was mostly take shots in the house. So just, if you want to just see some, you know, good old fashioned reality TV, check that out, and you better get used to it because we're going to be having a lot more soon. But I'm getting ahead of myself with the, reality TV talk, and that all relates to the strike. So before I get into that, one more show that I've been watching this summer, of course, has my whole heart, The Bear. The Bear on FX is so good, y'all. If you haven't seen it yet, just watch it. I'm not going to lie, every episode stresses me out because it's just so high intensity, but they mean well. Like, they're just happy, you know, Italian family-oriented people. And the Christmas episode, chef's kiss. Like, it was great to take a look 5 years before and see, you know, the family that Carmi comes from. And it's crazy. It really is crazy. And now I see what drove him to run away to start his culinary career, because sometimes we are just trying to get away from our family. But at the end of the day, we always come back, and that's what keeps us going. And so it's just been great to watch that show, to see the development of the characters. I love the fact that we really got to tap into some of the other characters. Like, nobody feels like an afterthought. Nobody feels like a side character. Like, yeah, there are main characters, but like, they really took their time with each character. So even Marcus, like his whole trip, I love to see that. And what's that guy's name with the eyebrows? People are raving about how he looks so much better now. Yeah, because he grew into his face. Like, when he was a kid actor, he had those crazy eyebrows. What was that guy's name? It's on the tip of my tongue. You know who I'm talking about. The actor with the crazy eyebrows and the giant ass forehead. I can't find it right now. But anyways, I just love seeing, you know, different faces, different stories. Because as you could tell from what I like to watch, I just like representation. And I also like to see real stories. You know, yeah, fantasy and sci-fi and all that is really great. But it's really awesome just to, like, see what it's like to live in Chicago at a sandwich shop, or see what it's like to try to open a restaurant. Like, that's why I do, you know, lean into competition shows and stuff like that. But this season really just made me love the show even more. So if you're not familiar with The Bear, definitely check that out on FX. And that leads me to talking about the actor/writer strike, because a lot of actors have stepped up and they've been vocal, and definitely some of the Bear writers as well. I actually wanted to share an article from Vulture, because they were just, you know, breaking down what is this strike for dummies, basically. If you're not familiar, I'll break it down for you. So this all takes me back to my time in the media. When I was a social media producer, the union actually fought for us social media folks to be added to the contract, and we were supposed to be negotiating for the base pay, you know, and to be compensated fairly. And now, you know, that experience helped me see what exactly are these writers and actors fighting for. Because, you know, if you're a typical consumer, you might just think they're rich. Like, what are they complaining about? No. Turns out, I really didn't peep. Like, I didn't know TV writers don't make shit. Like, somebody was basically explaining, like, you spend all this time writing a script, then you gotta wait for somebody to, like, show interest, then you gotta get it picked up by a network, then you got to put out the show. Then you might get $20 from it. Like, I know $20 sounds like an exaggeration, but there have been folks on TikTok, actors from like Orange is the New Black, everybody, who've been showing their checks. And it's all based on residuals, y'all. Basically, why do you think we see so many damn episodes of Seinfeld and, you know, Two and a Half Men? Those are syndicated, Law and Order. Every time that show airs, they're getting paid for it. There's not a whole lot of shows like that with that type of residual income. So everybody else on The Bear, who's only in season two, probably is not making much. Why do you think Ayo Edebiri has to go on Abbott Elementary? They got to do multiple shows and multiple films to cut a check. Not everybody's making that Angela Bassett 911 movie money. So, you know, basically actors and writers don't make as much as we think, and they are striking because they are asking for just a fair living wage. And what I wanted to share, I'm trying to find it in this article, was this crazy story about how, like, one of the writers from The Bear literally was nominated for an award, but that same week his heat was out. He couldn't even afford to pay his heat bill, and his bank account was in the negatives, and so he had to rent a suit on credit just to go to an award show. So I just feel like I'm passionate about this because as a creator, I know how much work goes into our craft, our technique, our artistry. I couldn't memorize one line in season two, episode six of The Bear. That Christmas episode was so hectic. And maybe some of it wasn't scripted. Maybe some of it was ad-libbed. And that in itself is a talent. Those are things that just get overlooked. And I guess I'm about to be getting on my soapbox here. But I literally wrote down in my notes, greed of the industry. This whole strike is just an example of greed of the industry. Like, I saw a quote from, like, the CEO of Disney coming out like, oh, this is ridiculous, like, the strike. He literally said, like, what they're asking for is ridiculous. I'm sorry, a living wage? That's ridiculous? Says the person who literally makes millions off of others in multiple streams of income. And speaking of streaming, that's another thing. That's another issue that has brought all of this up, is because these streaming services are kind of just like, eh, you know, we don't need to pay y'all residuals. We have our own little platform over here. And, you know, we can basically do whatever we want. It's literally like, they can do whatever they want. It's their money. It's Netflix could literally put out whatever show and pay whatever they want. And that's the problem. There's not really a whole lot we could do about that. There's not a whole lot of regulations around that. And so that's the crazy thing. Like I said, I saw that tweet or that TikTok from the Asian woman from Orange is the New Black. And she was like, y'all, oh my God, I was on so many episodes of Orange is the Black, so many seasons. Check out how much money I made. She showed like an $86 check. I'm like, you were a main character, bitch. So to see, I mean, and this is exactly why, you know, Netflix, they have this formula where they'll just have a show, a few seasons, on to the next. They could pay anybody for their script. They could pay anybody for their movie. They don't need to pay actors residuals when they could just pull a show out of their ass. So that's the problem. And I think that also, as a consumer, I could say that's also why some of Netflix shows don't be hitting. That's why Hulu movies don't be hitting. I saw a terrible Hulu movie recently. I'm like, why did I waste my time on this? So it's like, you think you found a fix, you think you found a solution. Oh, we could just replace actors with AI, or we could just replace writers with AI. Honey, you could never be Issa Rae. You could never be Quinta Brunson. And the honey I'm referring to is AI. And these, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? The industry. Oh, I'm blanking on the word. But y'all know what I mean. The studios. There we go. Warner Brother. All these people. These are legacy companies that have been around for literally a century. Some of them literally a century. And they don't want to change this industry because they want to be the moneymakers at the top. And that's just completely unfair when people are putting their grind and their sweat and their tears into television shows that are viewed by millions. So we as consumers, we can support the strike. And so it started out with the writers. And what does this mean for television right now? What does this mean? Let me backtrack. So writers are on strike. Actors, their contract fell through right at the same time with their union. So they were like, fuck it, we're on strike too. And so now it's basically like just negotiations, I guess. We just wait and see. But they said they're not letting up. And I know that means that a lot of people are going without pay. I don't know how they can afford to do that. I saw the girl from Euphoria, Sweeney. She was like, I actually can't afford to strike. So we'll see who stands up with those on strike and who is who's a scab, as they say, who goes against the strike. And I saw, you know, right now Disney Plus, they had a red carpet event for a new movie, Haunted Mansion, which I'm not sure why they needed another Haunted Mansion after Eddie Murphy. Like, that wasn't enough. But I saw they had a premiere and the director was out there in his little getup on the red carpet. Now we're going to see who really cares about the creativity and the union and the organization, and who really cares about the money and the greed. So sorry to that black man, but I don't know. If everybody else will strike, like, why is your ass? Even Issa Rae left the Barbie tour, because you know this weekend is Barbenheimer. Barbie movie versus Oppenheimer, which I don't want to see a movie about how we created a bomb for no good. Like, I'm tired of these white American stories. Now, Barbie, that is an American classic. But I probably wouldn't even go see Barbie in theaters, for real. I'd probably just wait. Probably only go see it for Issa Rae. But to be honest, you know, we have people, like, having to leave the red carpet and stand their ground and say, I'm not going to be doing this press tour. Because how much did Issa Rae get paid for her spot in that film, you know? Especially how much does she get paid compared to Margot Robbie? We don't know these things. And so we just want everybody to have fair pay. I guess all I wanted to say was, oh yeah, what happened last time? So bringing it back to the reality TV, what happened last time was when the fall comes, if this is not resolved, there's not going to be anybody writing on our favorite shows. Saturday Night Live, talk shows, I don't know. Like I said, Law and Order. Law and Order is supposed to be coming back in the fall. Right now in the summertime is when they're supposed to be writing their scripts. So I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to be seeing a lot of reruns. Y'all better lock into your favorite old binge because we're not going to be getting new TV. And it's probably going to be a lot of reality TV because those things, you know, they probably don't need a whole lot of writers, or they just need some low budget writers. This strike is not the first time that this is occurring. I think this is the first time that both the actors and the writers are striking, but this whole writer strike is not the first time this is occurring. This happened in like 2007, 2008. And that's literally when we got The Apprentice. And that's why The Apprentice was able to stay on for so long, because they had no other shows. And because reality TV was big right then, you know, during that strike. So let's see what else we get to come out of this. But it's just sad to me as a creator that this is what we have to do in 2023. Like, people are getting Emmy nominated. It's so, what's the word I'm looking for? Ironic, I guess. Not even ironic. It's just, like, cringy how writers and actors are on strike, yet Emmy nominations are coming out. I literally saw Cheryl Lee Ralph actually tweeted, like, thanks so much for my Emmy nomination. And she posted the picture, you know, where it says, like, Cheryl Lee Ralph nominated for supporting actress in a comedy or whatever. At the bottom of the picture, they had, like, the studio logos, like Warner Brothers, ABC. She cropped that shit out. And someone was like, yes, we love a strike crop. Because, like, no, we don't want to support these industries because they don't support us. And I know that a lot of people feel that way across the board in their jobs. And so that's the story going on in America right now, right? Like somebody said, it doesn't have to be writers. Take any industry, take your pick. Like healthcare workers want to strike, teachers want to strike, everybody want to strike because we're not being paid a fair wage. I can't believe that they shut down the student loan repayment. I hope that they have a solution for that soon because, yeah, sis can't afford it right now. Like if I can't afford it, I know some other people definitely can't afford it. Like, I'm barely making ends meet, so I really, okay, I'm not going to say that. I'm living comfortably. But that's why I said I can't afford it, because, okay, if I'm living comfortably, a huge $500 bill from U.S. Department of Education, you know, that's going to screw me up. That is why we can't move the needle and get ahead in this country. Wanted to buy a house this year, but the housing market was crazy. I told y'all I had to stop my search because I really had to realize, like, the system is not set up for us, but we have to do the best we can. So I hope that y'all are, how did I get on to this? I guess because, you know, the whole union, the striking thing, it makes me so sad that I think people are finally starting to notice and finally starting to care because it is celebrities. Like, oh damn, like so-and-so only made $26 from that show. The one guy, I think he made like 80 cents in his residuals. And somebody was like, they spent more money printing the check for you. So, like, now people are starting to realize, like, oh, they don't make a lot. And everything that we see, I guess everything, it must be on loan or credit. I saw a tweet that was like, how is everybody just, like, out here going to Paris and living their best life? And somebody's like, credit! The answer is credit! Everybody's on credit. So, yeah, even our favorite writers and actors. I wanted to talk about the Emmy nominations. Here's just a few notes about that. The show is... Okay, so for an order to be nominated for an Emmy, the show had to have aired between June 1st, 2022 and May 31st, 2023. So keep those dates in mind because some people be like, oh, why isn't my favorite show on here? Whatever, whatever. Well, those are the dates. So one show, though, that I am surprised by is Snowfall. Because, I don't know, I just feel like now more than ever, I heard so many people talking about it, but maybe that's just because I'm in my group. I'm in my Black community and we watch Snowfall. And even in my community, I know some Black folks who don't watch Snowfall. So when people are like, oh, why did my favorite show get nominated or whatever? Nobody knows why the Academy does what it does. I am happy to see, you know, more influencers and content creators like myself being invited into the Academy so their voices can be heard. So that's great to see, but I don't know. We could pull the Black card if we want. I don't think it's the Black card. I think Snowfall was so good. It was one of those shows that really transcended race for me, but I don't know, how other people feel, but yeah, we could sit here and say it was race or we could, I don't know. It got six seasons. I feel like that is a long tenure for a show. Succession just ended at six seasons and they got nominated. So I do kind of understand though, like, Power and P-Valley, I guess they aren't as hype yet. You know, they're still B-list celebrities, we'll call them. And so I guess I kind of understand those shows. But I just take it with a grain of salt. Like, I like weird, you know, documentaries and short films and things like that. So they're not going to always be recognized by the Academy. But sometimes we do see, you know, other creatives being recognized. Maybe they're not in the camera, but they are, you know, the costume designer, or they're the hairdresser or the hairstylist, the makeup artist. So we definitely want to support Black content creators and Black creatives and Black Emmy nominees wherever we can. I saw a woman who owns a nonprofit on my LinkedIn, and she was nominated for an Emmy because of documentary work on her show, on her nonprofit. So you never know where these nominations might lead. And I think that's why people are so upset about snubs, because a nomination or a nod that could really boost your resume. But we never know. So we just have to keep supporting the shows that we want to support. If you're one of those people who've been crying about, oh, we need some more Black animation, there's a ton of Black animation right now on Disney+, Netflix. Netflix is pouring a lot of money into African shows. So don't talk about it, be about it. Like, really put your money where your mouth is and support your favorite shows and, you know, boost those streams, because that's all that they care about nowadays. But one person who, like I said, was nominated was Cherrilee Ralph. And I just love seeing her be nominated twice now. She won, of course, last year. And so I actually saw her TED Talk this week. And it's just amazing how she said she literally went from, like, 19-year-old starring in a film with Sidney Poitier to no, back-to-back for 10 years. Imagine being without, like, steady acting work for 10 years. And so she finally got the, she landed the role in Dreamgirls. And man, like, and then after that, okay, we saw that you're a pretty talented girl. Now what? Like, people constantly questioning you, people constantly putting you down. And so she talked about believing yourself. She said, I'm going to just give you all the cliff notes and I'm going to end here on a positive note with Cherrilee Ralph as we talk about TV and film, okay? But apply this to your life, because this definitely transcends her acting career. She said, number one, it all starts with how we see ourselves and what we believe. She said that, you know, she grew up in the segregated times and she had to go to an all-white school and they called her the N-word. And she came home crying, boohoo crying. Her mom was like, sit in front of this mirror. Do you look like an N-word? Do you look like a monkey? No. She said, I am rubber and you are glue. And that is just such a simple, you know, phrase that we used to say when we were kids. But now as an adult, I'm like, I really got to start acting like that. I am rubber. You are glue, honey. Whatever you say bounces off of me. It sticks to you. So that's number one. It's all about how we see ourselves. Look in that mirror and say something nice to yourself. Number two, she said, it's all about how we think of ourselves. She said, you have to give yourself permission to take up space. She said after, you know, her whole Broadway stint, when she came back to Hollywood, nobody wanted to give her a job. She went down to this man. He was like, yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to do with a pretty black girl? Like, put you in a movie kissing Tom Cruise? And she said, the way she thought of it, he said I was a pretty black girl. And he said that I could be in the movie with the likes of Tom Cruise. And she took that, and that's what she thought about that. She didn't think about the negative. She thought about the positive, and I loved how she spun that. And then number three, she said, you got to act like you believe in yourself. You really got to stay ready so you don't have to get ready. She really said that she, again, networking, like, just was in a room and knew a guy was married to a woman who was a writer on a show. What was the name of the show? I think it was called By Design or something like that. It was an old 80s sitcom about a design firm. And there was only one black male character and the rest of the show was white women. And Cherrilee Ralph walked up to this man and was like, how come so-and-so hasn't had a black wife in 6 seasons of the show? And he's like, who are you? And she was like, I'm Cherrilee Ralph and I think that I could play the next wife on this show, whatever, whatever. And he was like, you know what? You're bold. I don't know who the hell you are, but I like your charisma. And he was like, I'm going to put you in touch with my wife, who's the creator of the show. And so that's her just stepping out on faith. If you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. And she did that shit. So Cherrilee Ralph has been an inspiration to so many people. And I love this TED Talk. She talked about, you know, the greatest relationship you'll ever have is with yourself. And we deserve to soar. So she said, just look in the mirror, and if you can't love it, then respect it. If you can't respect it, then encourage it. And if you can't encourage it, at least be kind to it. All right, y'all, that's a wrap on another episode of the YBO podcast. If you liked what you heard today, leave me a rate. Leave me a review. Like, y'all haven't done that in a while. What's up with that? So make sure you drop your comments and give me 5 stars if you like what you heard today. And also hit that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. You can follow the podcast on social media at the YBO podcast and follow me, Miss Chris D, MissChrisDe, on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. I just remembered the guy's name that I was trying to think of earlier. Will Poulter. Great actor. Great guy. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I love his work. You know, Narnia, We're the Millers. So yeah, Will Poulter, he's in The Bear. Make sure you check out the shows I mentioned today. And let me know what you're watching, because I'm going to need some new shows to watch. I'm going to need some old binges to watch. And I'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.